Today's Bible reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were the seraphs, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of God.
Thank you, Matthew, for reading that passage to us. Today's message is part of a series of messages which is under the general umbrella of how to know the will of God. And we've been looking at various aspects of God's will, and today the theme is the aspect of service. And so I trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts and encourage us as we focus upon his word this morning. Do continue to pray for Pastor John and Jean as they spend this week in Malaysia catching up with family and with friends, and pray that God will refresh them and renew them and bring them safely back to us again next weekend. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to understand as we focus upon what his word reveals. Father, we are very much dependent upon the Holy Spirit today to be our teacher, to be our guide, to be our helper. And so as we open your word, as we focus upon your word, we pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and our understanding. And we pray, Lord, that this message today will help us to determine what is your call and what is your desire and what is your plan and your purpose as far as our lives are concerned. And so we seek your help, we seek your guidance, we seek, Lord, that we might hear your voice today. And we pray this and ask this in the name of Jesus our Saviour. Amen. Dr. Billy Graham, in his book Peace with God, tells the story of a man who came forward at an old-fashioned tent revival meeting many years ago. As the man was kneeling at the altar, trying to find God, a dear old lady came up and slapped him on the back and said, "If you want to find God, you've just got to hold on." Some minutes later, as the man continued to kneel at the altar, trying to hold on, a second dear old lady came up to him and slapped him on the back and said, "Brother, if you want to find God, you've just got to let go." As the man continued to kneel there at the altar, trying at the same time to hold on and to let go, a third dear old lady came up to him and slapped him on the back and said, "Brother, on the night that I found God, a big light fell from the ceiling and hit me in the face and knocked me unconscious. Here I was then," said the man, "trying to hold on, trying to let go, and at the same time waiting and expecting a big light to fall from the ceiling and hit me in the face. I almost didn't make it in the midst of all the confusion." Now, as farcical as this story may seem to sound, I want to suggest to you this morning that a great number of people today are never really making it into missionary service because they are waiting for and expecting some strange, mysterious, supernatural intervention from God. And when such a supernatural intervention is not forthcoming, they are reluctant to offer themselves for missionary service. I've spoken with many people over the years who sincerely believe that one of the prerequisites to a missionary call is that you are required to see a blinding light or hear an audible voice or witness a heavenly vision or experience an emotional sensation. And if any of these manifestations are not forthcoming, then you are not really a suitable candidate for missionary service. Somehow or other, the expectation has been fostered that a missionary call is a highly personalized, emotionalized, sensationalized, subjective experience, and that unless such a call is clearly heard or seen or felt, then one dare not volunteer for missionary service. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning that this whole approach to missionary service, based as it is upon some vague, mysterious, mystical call from God, is highly suspect. And it's suspect on two grounds. It's suspect on biblical grounds, and it's suspect on practical grounds. First of all, it's suspect on biblical grounds. Just about the only example that I can find in the whole of the Bible of anyone volunteering for missionary service is the example of Isaiah in our reading this morning, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. God had said, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah had replied, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." But this one isolated example of an Old Testament prophet volunteering should not be regarded as the norm for the calling of a 21st century Christian missionary. Isaiah was really the only volunteer that we read of in all of the Bible. As you read other Bible passages, you will find that not only is there a complete absence of the volunteer approach, but there is also a complete reversal of the volunteer approach as well. Let me give you a couple of examples. Back in Exodus chapter 3, we read that when God called Moses to go down into the land of Egypt and lead his people out of their 430 years of slavery and bondage, Moses did all that he could to wriggle out of the call of God and to unvolunteer himself, if there is such a word. Remember Moses' response? Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should lead Israel out of Egypt? Lord, why me? Lord, you know that I have tried once before and failed. Lord, there must be somebody else." Still, the Lord persevered. And Moses then said, "But Lord, what shall I say? I have no authority. Besides, you know, I can't even speak properly. I stammer and I stutter. The people won't listen to me." You read Exodus 3 and 4 and see how Moses tried so hard to unvolunteer himself. So too did Gideon in the book of Judges. When the call of God came to Gideon, Gideon's response was, "Who, me? Don't you know who I am? I'm the least important person in my family. I'm a nobody." And so Gideon tried to unvolunteer himself. So did Jeremiah. Read Jeremiah chapter 1. When the call of God came to Jeremiah as a young man, Jeremiah's instant response was, "Lord, why me? I can't speak. I'm only a youth." Jeremiah tried to unvolunteer himself. Jonah tried to unvolunteer himself. When the call of God came to Jonah to go to Nineveh and proclaim God's message to the Ninevites, you know what Jonah did? He hopped on a boat that was going to take him in the opposite direction. And so it is all the way through the Old Testament. Apart from the one isolated example of Isaiah, there is an absence of the volunteer approach to ministry and service. And as we come over to the New Testament, the same pattern continues in the New Testament. For example, Jesus never called for volunteers. to be his disciples. What did Jesus do? Luke records how that Jesus went up into a mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to his Father. And when morning came, he gathered all of the people around him who were his followers. And out of those many, many numbers of people, he chose 12 to be his apostles. And later on in his ministry, in John chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus said to the 12, "You did not choose me. I chose you, and I set you apart that you should go and bring forth fruit." You see, the 12 were not volunteers. They were called. They were chosen. They were selected by Jesus himself. In Acts chapter 11, and this was a chapter that we looked at in some detail at our recent church camp. Do you remember how that a group of unnamed laymen from Cyprus and Cyrene went to the city of Antioch and began to preach the message of Jesus in that city? We are told that they preached with tremendous power, because in Acts 11 verse 21 we read, "The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Now, when the news of what was happening in Antioch reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem decided to send Barnabas to Antioch to investigate what was happening. And this is the key. Barnabas was sent by the church at Jerusalem. There is no indication that Barnabas volunteered to go. There is no suggestion that Barnabas went because of some mystical call upon his life. Barnabas went because he was sent. And he was sent because he was the best man available for the job. Later on in Acts 11, that same chapter, we read where Barnabas went to Tarsus to search out and to seek for a man by the name of Saul, and he brought Saul back with him to Antioch to assist him in the ministry. And so the great Saul of Tarsus, the great Paul the Apostle, the great missionary, was launched into his missionary career not because he volunteered, but because a fellow Christian tapped him on the shoulder and brought him back to Antioch to accompany him. One year later, when these two men, Paul and Barnabas, were sent out on their first missionary journey, we noticed that this was not a private, personal decision that they made, that suddenly they decided that they were going to volunteer to be missionaries. Acts 13 makes it very, very clear that the Holy Spirit spoke to the church, and the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them." Paul and Barnabas were not volunteers. They were selected by the Holy Spirit. And later on in the book of Acts, when Paul and Barnabas parted company, we read where Barnabas chose Mark to go with him. Paul chose Silas. There is no suggestion that Mark or Silas were volunteers. They were chosen. Later in Acts 16, when Paul meets a young man by the name of Timothy, Paul determined that he wanted Timothy to accompany him in his missionary life. Timothy did not volunteer. He was chosen. And so it's interesting. Paul, Barnabas, Mark, Silas, Timothy, all of these early missionaries in the early church were missionaries not because they volunteered, but because they were chosen. And that's the emphasis. That's the emphasis all the way through the New Testament. It's the church that chooses. It's the church that selects. It's not just individuals who volunteer and decide to go. The New Testament, the Old Testament, the Bible has no grounds. There are no biblical grounds for a missionary call. But secondly, not only is the volunteer approach suspect on biblical grounds, it's also suspect on practical grounds as well. Just think for a moment. One does not select the Australian cricket team by calling for volunteers. Although the way the Australian cricket team have been going, perhaps that may not be such a bad approach. But generally, the team is not made up of volunteers. Normally, the team is selected. One does not choose an overseas diplomat or an overseas ambassador simply by calling for volunteers. A church does not generally select its deacons or its pastors just by calling for volunteers. Why should we be any the less selective when it comes to sending out missionaries? Perhaps the greatest weakness of the whole volunteer approach to missionary service is that it's simply not working. Everywhere you look in the world today, everywhere, there is an acute shortage of workers. I have in my filing cabinet at home a situations vacant paper that was prepared by the Australian Evangelical Alliance Mission. It makes very sobering and sad reading. There are 2,500 vacancies that need to be filled yesterday. The vacancies cover a whole range of professions: teachers, nurses, agriculturalists, builders, mechanics, librarians, secretaries, IT consultants, computer programmers, business people, and the list goes on and on. You see, if we just sit back and wait for people to volunteer, the task will never be accomplished. The world will never be evangelized while ever we just wait for people to volunteer themselves for missionary service. But please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I've laboured the point. Perhaps I've laboured it too strongly. My wife thinks that I have when she typed up the sermon for me. Please do not misunderstand me. In seeking to expose some of the weaknesses and some of the shortcomings of the volunteer approach to missionary service, and in daring to suggest the validity of a highly emotionalized, personalized, subjective sense of call, I do not wish to imply, and I underline that, I do not wish to imply that a call from God is in no way either necessary or important. Indeed, I believe that every missionary must have a deep down personal conviction that God has called him or her to the task. Such a person needs to be absolutely sure that he or she is where God wants them to be, that he or she is the right person in the right place at the right time with the right message for the right group of people. For you see, without such a strong sense of call, no missionary would ever be able to stand in times of opposition, persecution, doubt, difficulty, discouragement, or disappointment. As I look back over my own life, a strong sense of personal call has always figured very prominently in every major decision that I have ever made. For example, my initial decision to enter Bible college came one Saturday afternoon when I sat in a box umpiring a tennis match. I didn't see a light. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't have a heavenly vision. But the call of God to me on that Saturday afternoon was so strong and so clear that I have never doubted from that day to this that God called me to be a pastor. And many times over the years, when the temptation has been there to throw in the towel, to give up, to walk away, to seek another job, I come back to that call from God, which was unmistakable to me. Likewise, the call to pastor the Swanston Street Church of Christ in Melbourne. That call came to me when I was in Singapore. I was attending a conference, and I was listening to an Asian pastor, and he was speaking from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. And that verse says, "Behold, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. Fear not, neither be thou discouraged." And as I listened to that pastor, I sensed that God was speaking to me about Asia. And God was challenging me that the rest of my life and ministry in some way had to be related to Asia. And so when I came back from that conference, I resigned from the church that I was pastoring and responded to an invitation to work amongst Asians, Asian international students in Melbourne. And then after 25 years of being the pastor of that church, again the call of God came to me to leave the safety and the security of a flourishing city ministry and respond to an invitation to become the national director of OMF International in Australia. And this time the call of God came through two passages of scripture. Interestingly, the first passage was a passage that I was preaching on that very Sunday morning. I was preaching to myself. I didn't know it at the time. But I was preaching to myself. I was preaching on Acts chapter 20 when Paul said, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." And as I was preaching that message, I felt that compulsion of God, compelled by the Spirit. I'm going to relocate my ministry from Melbourne and respond to what God is saying. And the very next morning, very, very interestingly, I was reading my daily Bible reading, and I happened to be reading Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and this is what it says. It says, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know the way to go, since you have never been this way before." And so the Lord confirmed to me through that passage of Scripture. And so the call of God is something that is very real to me, believe me, very real to me throughout my life. Likewise with Paul, even though it was Barnabas who recruited Paul, even though it was Barnabas who, from a purely human perspective, launched him into his missionary career, yet Paul had that very deep inner conviction and assurance that this is what God wanted of his life. And so Paul was able to write, "Necessity is laid upon me, woe is unto me, if I do not preach the gospel." And again he was able to write, "I am a debtor, both to the Jews and to the Greeks, to the wise, to the unwise. As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel." And so what I'm saying this morning, it's not an either or. It's a both and. An individual must have a strong sense of call, a strong sense that this is what God wants. However, that in itself does not qualify a person for missionary service. While on the basis of that inner sense of call, an individual missionary may express a willingness to go, the congregation as a whole must determine the worthiness of that person to go. An individual may feel free to go, but the congregation must determine whether that person is fitted to go. And so it's not just a case of somebody volunteering, somebody just deciding off their own bat, "This is what I'm going to do." A whole congregation needs to be involved. I love the pattern of the early church. The Holy Spirit selected, the early church set apart, and the Holy Spirit and the church in collaboration sent forth. Let me just say in closing this morning, the call of God is not an option to be considered. It is a commandment to be obeyed. There is a sense in which we are all called. We don't just have to wait for a light to shine or a voice to be heard or a heavenly vision to be displayed. We don't have to wait for some individualized, personalized sense of call. As I said to you at the church camp, perhaps the only thing that we really need. Remember? Is a good kick in the pants. Jim Elliot, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to consider this theme this morning. Lord, help us to realize and to understand that in a sense, we have all been called, Lord. We don't really need extra revelations. We have the clear instruction from your word. And yet, Lord, we do need also that, just that personal reassurance and conviction that this is what you want us to do. And so, Lord, as we wait upon you, as we consider this whole theme of how to know your will for our lives, Lord, help us to be open. Help us to be receptive and responsive. Help us, Lord, to be willing to do whatever it is that you want us to do, to be whatever it is that you want us to be, to go wherever it is you want us to go. Lord, may your Holy Spirit continue his work in our hearts and lives. And we ask and we pray this in the name of Jesus.